Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Happen to a presidential candidate or the president of the United States, what kind of protection do average American citizens have that their government won't array this vast power against them and essentially ruin their lives?
We don't believe anyone in this capacity, this delicate capacity with life-changing decision-making every single day, should be so politically biased as to call into question their values and their character.
That's correct, and I made this point last year when this issue came up. Individuals that the Justice Department and the FBI are allowed to have their political views, they're allowed to be voters, they're allowed to be engaged citizens, they should be. They can't, though, tie their personal views to their investigative acts.
All right, so you heard at the top right there, Senator Dick Durbin, before that, Senator John Cornyn from Texas, and, of course, Durbin and Cornyn have a different point of view. And what are they talking about? We're diving into that here as we kick things off for this hour. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a great holiday season. You're not too frustrated with the traffic. You're not doing a bunch of crazy last-minute shopping that has you just freaked out, because I see people like that everywhere I go. And I think, why? Just get a gift card then if it's too much. You don't have to run around at the last second and do that. So what's being talked about there, the inspector general says the FBI is not vindicated by the report on the Trump campaign investigation. That was Michael Horowitz that was there with Dick Durbin. He said he couldn't vindicate, like I said, the former leaders of the FBI because of major mistakes, errors, effectively opening up these fresh wounds for both political parties to feud over the Russia case. So it's open season in D.C. anyway, so yet let's go for another go-around on Russia. Why not? So the Justice Department inspector, who is general, who is Horowitz, said that the FBI was justified to open the investigation in the first place, but that we cannot effectively do this. He said before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and what he meant was that a prosecutor handpicked by Attorney General William Barr to review the same issues failed to convince him that the FBI didn't have a reason to initiate an investigation. He emphasized what he saw as a ton of failures by the FBI after opening the case and said they hadn't explained their actions. Since his 434-page report was released on Monday, Democrats are emphasizing that its conclusion is political bias didn't drive the investigation into a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. Barr and other Republicans have said the report found so many flaws that the investigation should have never happened. But here's the key question. After the report was released, former FBI Director James Comey declared it showed the investigation was just good people trying to protect America. Horowitz said no one should claim victory from it. He was even asked by Senator John Kennedy, a Republican, Louisiana, does your report vindicate Mr. Comey? And you know what he said? It doesn't vindicate anyone at the FBI who touched this, including the leadership. Then asked, does it vindicate Mr. McCabe? Referring to the Comey's deputy, Andrew McCabe. And he said, same answer. They found 17 errors or omissions made by the FBI. And as they dug deeper into this, so pretty interesting. Republicans were pressing him to explain what other than, you know, political bias would explain so many errors. And he said it's unfair for someone to sit there and look at all these 17 events and wonder how it could be pure incompetence. Wow. How long do we talk about Russia, Russia, Russia on this show? How long do we talk about that investigation filled with errors and problems? Really? Are you shocked by all of that? You're not, right? You're not shocked by that. And of course, it goes back to the release of it, the panel, the arguments about Russian interference, and then the edges of the investigation and what happened in the early stages, I guess, of the investigation. But besides this, and you can't just write it off. I mean, how did it get off the rails? I think that's important. We go to what else is preoccupying Washington, and the question that every American is wondering, what's going to happen with this whole impeachment thing? I had a coffee with a writer friend, and that's the first thing he asked me, and that's the first thing we talked about. And he said he was listening to lots of talk radio, and he was listening to all kinds of things that were being said. And he said, I heard today that if the president was impeached, and even if he was kicked out of office, he could run again. But I said, he's not going to get kicked out of office. That's not happening. That would be, to me, a stunner. I've said this before. It would be the biggest story, not just of the year, but of the whole decade. You would elect a man who is a celebrity slash businessman. You end up with a situation where, and this was happening with Obama, and this was happening in with Bush, but more hate and vitriol seemed to circle around and out of D.C., and so much of that coming down the path of someone being an outsider, which was part of it, and now as you watch this regime and being attacked on impeachment, and you look at the numbers, and the numbers aren't there. And the House certainly knows that. I mean, they're doing what they do. They're doing their investigations and going through their committees. But the bottom line is, when we spend all the time on it, I get it, because you can't just not even look into it. But now when you go to the Senate, you're throwing the ball down the field, and no one's there to catch it. No one's catching this. It's just purely numbers and votes. And this just goes more to the wasteland of arguments that never seem to meet. There's no bridge. There's no connection between the Republicans and the Democrats, or very, very few things connect them other than their lawmakers. And they have special license plates and sometimes special drivers, but not much in agreement here. Not much at all. Would you be shocked at this statement? We went to Afghanistan, we lost some lives, we saved some lives, good soldiers were damaged with PTSD and didn't survive and committed suicide. And in the end, a report comes out that we wasted billions of dollars in a colossal effort to rebuild Afghanistan. And of course we know that many generals and many military people insisted that they would not be nation building in Afghanistan. $133 billion in trying to do that is what's happened, and it's just fallen flat. $133 billion. What could you do with $133 billion? So sad. D.C. inadvertently put together, according to the Washington Post even, a corrupt, dysfunctional Afghan government that is dependent on U.S. military power for survival. What do we do? Where do we go from here? 133, let me say it again, billion dollars. We're headed to the mailbag next. Kick back, relax, and I'll meet you there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Warning. Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Here comes Postman. I wonder what he has for me. Something in his big brown sack. I wonder what could it be. Well, I hope the bills it lacks, and it still brings me some listener feedback, or maybe, just maybe, a big bag of crack. Oh, here comes the postman. I wonder what he has for me.
Oh, it sounds like a ukulele. I love it. Nathan Reeder just constantly surprises me here on this show. I hope you all appreciate it. He is the technical maestro behind everything that really actually works. So here we are in the mailbag, and a lot of different types of email this time around. I'm always stunned by the amount of email I get, so bravo to all of you. I know the show airs at different times. Some of you get it in a playback form, so then you're just chomping at the bit to talk, so bravo that you reach out. You go to katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com, and click on contact and ask whatever question you would like to ask. I got this one from Christopher, and Christopher says, Ms. Delaney, what do you really, really want for Christmas? Do you put together a list, and do you hand it to Mr. Kate Delaney? I laugh sometimes when I hear that segment. No, you know, here's the deal. We're going to Ireland. My nephew is graduating high school, and we saved our pennies, and we're all going to Ireland in, I want to say, May. So that's a big deal. And I said, oh, that's a big deal. So we don't need to have some giant Christmas. So he's telling everybody that I canceled Christmas. She canceled Christmas. I did not cancel Christmas. I just said, we don't need more stuff. What stuff do we need? I don't need more stuff. I don't know how you all feel about that. But I don't know if it's the Marie Kondo effect. And if you don't know who she is, just look it up on whatever search engine you choose. And you'll see. But the idea of less is more, I like it. really, honestly. And how about this one? This one, so there's nothing I, there's really nothing I want. I wanted lights on the house, and I have lights on the house. I wanted a Christmas tree, because I love the smell of that pine sort of smell. So I got that. That's, it's good. We move to this one. This is from, is that a lame answer? This is from Ben. And Ben says, Kate, I can't wait for the new Star Wars flick. Are you a Star Wars fan? Are you going to review it? And will you go and see it? And I guess that depends on whether you're a fan. Have you seen all things dealing with Star Wars? I haven't seen the Disney thing that everybody's talking about. But I have, yes, to answer your question, yes, I have seen the Star Wars, absolutely. So what's coming up next is the Rise of Skywalker. So the surviving resistance faces, of course, the First Order another time. So you have Rey and Finn and Poe's journey that just continues. And I like it. I didn't think I would like some of the, to be honest, the newer Star Wars, the prequels, but I do like them. And it's amazing to think that Star Wars spans all those generations, because remember when it first came out and how long this has been going on. Of course, now the director is J.J. Abrams. The story is by George Lucas. But it's, I think it's intriguing. And it, you know, it's described as, if you go and look it up like on Wikipedia, they say Star Wars is an epic space opera media franchise created by George Lucas. And it started in 1977. That's incredible. This is why you take the leap. You have an idea. He took a leap. He had an idea, puts it together, and then look what it turns out to be. Now we go into some more serious matters. This one from Matt, who says, Kate, when you said the thing about impeachment, 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 I think you're right, because everywhere I go, everyone's talking about it, if not for just a few moments, but they're saying it's bull crap, or they don't like it, or they're tired of hearing about it, or it's the same old, but there's always some reaction to it. And I think the nation is tired of everything that, frankly, that comes out of Washington, D.C. I can't imagine that the politicians are very popular. You know, it's funny you say that, because every year they do, they, meaning different groups, do polls, and politicians always come up not trustworthy. They're not trustworthy, and they're not well-liked. I mean, any poll that's done, and I'm trying to think, the last one, the Pew Research Center always does one. And they did one, I want to say back in the spring, and what they came up with is only, of the people that were surveyed, only 17% of Americans say they trust the government in Washington. 17%. That's terrible. That's not good. Let's put it that way. And of course, it's easy to hate on the people who are the lawmakers, but trust is something completely different. You don't even trust them, because you're just sick of hearing the things that you hear. And trust goes, you know, up and down, and depends on the administration, depends on what's happening, depends on who you're talking to, millennials, older generations, etc. But that's not good to say the trust is that high. And then, of course, this is part of the apathy of the voter, because who wants to go and vote? People, and I say you should, but people are just what I call caving it. So just, we know that we have limited time on the planet Earth. We don't know how long we all have. We have an expiration date, my grandmother used to say, stamped on us. So you have choices of what you can do with your life. And how much of a chunk of the choice of your life are you going to waste on being frustrated by what you're seeing come out of the politicians who represent you? But here's the problem with that. If we don't hold their feet to the fire, if you don't get involved a little bit and pay attention to who you're electing, it never gets any better. And it does affect you. It affects your retirement. It affects your health. It affects your family. it affects the key aspects of you living a good life. If everybody is entitled according to the Declaration of Independence, the life that they say that can be afforded to us, well, then the people who we elect have a lot to say about that. Because are you struggling to make ends meet? Are you, you know, at XYZ is happening in tax brackets, or is it even affordable to live where you are? And I think money really plays a heavy stress factor on a lot of people's lives. And if you're starting a business, is there too much red tape? How about the small business person? You know, there's just a myriad of things that upset the apple cart. But if more people were involved and had a say, then maybe some of what we don't like would be changed. Here's a first-timer, Monroe, and he says it. This is the first time that I've emailed the show. And I have to say, if anything, I don't know that the stores are so crowded, Kate, but I think when you talk about Jeff Bezos might as well be Pope of everything commerce, I think you're right. Everywhere I go, I see those Amazon trucks, and I live in New York City. I see the Amazon trucks, and this isn't a big city, and packages everywhere, because you can get anything any time of day, pretty much, and order it for a cheaper price, or at least the same price, and you don't have to hustle yourself all over. Yeah, it used to be, it's like a scavenger hunt, right? That you would, whatever it was, search and destroy, or whatever your attitude is toward shopping. But instead, it's like just pick out, boom, why am I doing that? Just go to Amazon. I mean, people now even just send presents that way. Like, why are you wrapping them? Because you'll just get an Amazon box, and it'll be something from Amazon. That's, I always know when I get an Amazon box, it's from my brother, because he is the king of it. And whatever you get, he's great at gift giving. He'll find something unique, and again, who cares about the stuff? But I know it's from Patrick, my brother, because it's always from Amazon. There's always an Amazon box with the familiar gift for you, a gift for you, and then the note. And you know what? It's the thought that counts. But Jeff Bezos is absolutely profiting on convenience and people who do not want to shop for items, who want to save money, who want it there quickly, and they're willing to shop online and do it at Amazon. Yeah. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on the show.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
After the articles of impeachment against President Trump were read by the Judiciary Committee chairman, the ranking Republican Doug Collins said all the Democrats could come up with is abuse of power with no real dates on when it even occurred.
They don't have the who knew it and when they knew it. All they have is, well, here, members, we're going to give you abuse of power. You go home, pick something you don't like about the president. There's your abuse of power.
Collins said of the obstruction of Congress article that the only obstruction he's seen is of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff of this investigation. But Democratic Congresswoman Zoe Loughran provided her assessment as to why the president should be impeached.
No one is above the law, and the president of the United States must follow the Constitution. President Trump has not only abused his power for the upcoming election, he used a foreign power to do it.
This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222 to discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Really excited to welcome to the show Matthew Knowles. He has written a book called Destiny's Child, The Untold Story. He, of course, is the father of Beyonce, who is a major superstar, obviously, that we all know. And who didn't love and dance to Destiny's Child? Who still doesn't do that? So it really is exciting to have him on the show and introduce you to this great book that he's releasing. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much. Here in New York today, looking out of the window at Central Park with snow, and it's cold outside, but a great day because this morning on Amazon, the book went number one. So excited about that.
Boy, no kidding. So Destiny's Child, take us back to the beginning of it. Did you know that you had magic in a bottle? How did this all unfold?
Well, that's what I tell the entire story going back to 1992. The girls, it started out Girls' Time. And by the way, the name has changed from Girls' Time to The Dolls to something fresh to Cliche to Destiny to Destiny's Child. A total of about 25 to 30 members, going back starting in around 1992, I didn't get involved. I was just playing a dad's role until the ladies had gone to Star Search. So imagine that being American Idol today. And they lost on the Star Search. And Ed McMahon was then the host. And I said, well, Mr. McMahon, these kids are crying their hearts out. By that time, Beyonce had competed in about 30 competitions, had never lost. So she took it the hardest. And he said, I don't understand, Mr. Knowles. Everyone who wins on Star Search consistently never goes on to be successful professionally. It's the people that lose. And he started naming names like Justin Timberlake, Christina Aguilera, Aaliyah, Boyz II Men. He said, those are the ones that go back, they make the changes in their organization, they rededicate, refocus, and they go on from that loss to be successful. And that's how I got involved. That was a defining moment.
Yeah, when obviously you got that great advice from him as to what happened, and for people listening, that's an interesting revelation because you don't always realize that. You named some very big names, obviously, in the success that they went on to. So, Matthew, you jump into this, and like you mentioned, you were in the parenting role, and you were shuffling kids around, you were having the watchful eye. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying to drive this thing. What was that like for you?
Well, for me, it started with going back to school. I went back to a community college. I took three courses, artist management, publishing, and live events. And then I went to every seminar that I could get to, and I asked every question I could while I was there, and began to start building those relationships, because that's key and critical in any business, not just music. And so there was a learning curve for me. I came from 20 years of corporate America, so I brought that as well as a positive asset that I had, and that's how it started. I had a partner, co-manager, who had invested in a group prior to me being involved, and so she came along. We made immediate changes in the organization. We had dancers they were trying to get a record deal, believe it or not, with. We had to let that go. We moved one of the dancers to be a member of the group, and then we had to go and audition for others.
We're speaking with Matthew Knowles, and again, his book is number one on Amazon, so we are so thrilled to have him. Destiny's Child, The Untold Story, you can pick it up there. You know, you talk about getting record deals, and you talk in your book about a fascinating part about working with Prince, because you had a relationship with him as a recording engineer, and when you talked to Prince about the girls and you sent him a couple of songs, what did he say?
Well, actually, you know, in the book, I interview several people. And one of the ones that I interview is Arnie Frager, who actually gave the ladies their first record deal, a production deal. He was an engineer at the Record Plant Studio in Sausalito, California. And it was actually him that had this relationship because Prince would record there. And so Prince was excited about signing the girls. That never did, go anywhere because Prince was so incredibly busy at that time. But yes, Prince was very interested in signing Destiny's Child, as we know them.
Yeah, and so we go back to that, and to not confuse everyone, as you said, you go back to Plant, and he was really instrumental in helping you, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He actually deal with Star Search and was very instrumental. He put up hundreds of dollars in the production deal. But I have to give it to Arnie. At some point, he realized that he could take it any and was honorable enough to say to people, don't, and allowed me and my dad, Ann Tillman, to take back and then go on.
So in talking about that and talking about the record labels and moving forward with that in the record industry, what was the best thing and the most frustrating thing about the record industry?
Well, the most frustrating thing is the having have any attachment of dad to my name. In the music industry, parents are considered a foe rather than a friend, and a liability rather than an asset. They consider parents very emotional and don't make good decisions because they are emotional. I had to get that stigma away from me, and that was one of the biggest challenges. And I eventually did get that stigma off of me, and was viewed at Columbia Records as a tremendous asset to the organization.
Yeah, you talk in the book about getting annoyed and sometimes insulted because people were trying to compare you rather to Joe Jackson, right?
Yeah, I really dislike that comparison. I've never met Mr. Jackson. He's now deceased. I do know I had an assignment of one of my classes. I'm a college professor also, to do research on the Jackson family. There's no real comparison between Joe and I other than we're father of some incredible kids. Joe's approach to the business was totally different than mine. He enjoyed being in a studio. I totally disliked being in a studio. He was an artist wanting to get a record deal himself. I never wanted to do that. He was more blue collar. I was more white collar. And so we were just totally, totally different in many, many ways. The one thing I did find fascinating was that Mrs. Jackson actually did the wardrobe, and I never knew that until the research. And my former wife, Tina, did the wardrobe for Destiny's Child. So there was a comparison there with the mothers.
Yeah, wow, how about that? And we're speaking with Matthew Knowles, and the book is called Destiny's Child, The Untold Story. And you had to kind of split yourself, and you mentioned Tina, because you had to be on the road, and your family was split. Tina was in Houston, she was running the business, all of that. What was that like, the tour demands, especially the first time you went on the road? What was it like when you first went on the road?
Well, you know, I had a job in corporate America where I was on the road all the time, so that wasn't unusual. And it was certainly helpful because I covered three or four states when I sold diagnostic imaging equipment. What became very difficult is when we all were in different places, and then when we were away for a long length of time. I remember 9/11. On 9/11, I was in New York. Solange, my youngest daughter, was on a TMZ, not TMZ, but on a TRL on MTV tour in Seattle. Destiny's Child was in Los Angeles for the Latin Grammy Awards, and Tina was in Houston. And, you know, we were all in different places on 9/11, and we all realized how dreadful that day and the days after were. It took a week and a half. It took Solange a week and a half to get home. So it was a lot of challenges in that being away.
Wow, I bet there was, and that was a horrible time for so many people. And, you know, you talk about the regime of doing it. You were used to being on the road, that kind of stuff. And getting the girls known, though, getting the word out, getting the publicity out there, and then in the very, very beginning, of course, being on a limited budget, what was that like for you?
Well, it was just that. We had to really have our boots to the ground, and we started that way, passing out flyers, the old school way of doing it, getting the name out in the city of Houston, and building the name in Houston, and then branching out to Texas, and branching out from there to the Southwest. And I tell that today to folks that want to get in the industry, first make your name known in your city before you think a major record labels want to sign you to a worldwide contract. And we did it that way, and it worked for us.
All right, we're speaking with Matthew Knowles, and again, the book is called Destiny's Child, The Untold Story. Matthew, can you hang with us and do another segment with us?
Absolutely, would love to.
All right, hang on a second. We're going to be back with Matthew Knowles.
Tebow Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tebow Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tebow Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about the secret formula, Noxitril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all." Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxitril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxitril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxitril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxitril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
The music in my ears. Dun, 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 dun. I've always wanted to tango, and I envy this woman of the life that she's led, because that's just been one of the elements, the tools in her toolbox, because she's a pro at ballroom dancing. In our virtual green room here in Author's Corner, Janelle Maranto joins us, and she's written a book called Life on the Wood Floor, Stories of Learning and Teaching Ballroom Dance. Hey, Janelle, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So you heard me. I don't know if I had the beat right. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, that probably pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, Hideaway, a very famous song for tango.
Yeah. And you know what? I wondered, I was thinking about this, because you've taught all kinds of people, and you're a pro, and you've had, you've got all kinds of hardwood that you, you know, hardwood that you've danced on and hardware that you've captured, because, like I said, you're a pro and you've won many, many competitions. Is there something about the tango that just attracts us? Is it because it's sexy and it looks so good, or what is it? The music combined with the dancing?
I think, well, the music is beautiful, and it is sexy and passionate, mostly. I mean, people are looking for passion in their life, and so many times people will call and ask for lessons in tango, specifically because of that, and they've seen it, and you know it's a man and a woman together, even though when it started originally, it was actually two men that danced together, the ganchos. But, you know, nowadays people think of the rose in the mouth, the rose in your teeth, and your faces are close together, and you know, so that's what the image is, I think, and the music stirs that in everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And your book is a combination of your story and also steps and learning it, and because you were a teacher, like I said. But I want to do justice to your professional side, too. As I said, you're a professional ballroom dance champ, nationally renowned, for sure, even so revered that you've been a judge and you've represented the U.S. in Europe and Asia and all that kind of stuff. And you were a performer on PBS's Championship Ballroom Dancing, and you and I talked about this off the air. You were appeared alongside Vanessa Williams in Dance With Me. So first of all, of all those things, what was the most exciting to you? Is it too tough to boil it down?
Well, the most exciting actually for me was just learning something and becoming a master at it. I never dreamed that I could actually do this. And my partner and I, once I became so excited about ballroom dance and realized that I could be good at it, we traveled the world. You know, we went looking for the best teachers in the world. And one of our main teachers was a world champion back in the 60s. And he's like a genius. And he taught us the methods of movement that I didn't even know existed. And it's so exciting. That's actually why I got turned on about writing the book. Is I didn't want to lose all those things that I had learned and took years to learn. I wanted to write them down, and I wanted to be able to pass them on to my students. So that was, I think, the most exciting thing was traveling around, learning, and meeting a lot of different people who are also passionate about dancing. And now, you know, learning first, and then now my thing is I love to teach and try to get my students to understand, you know, what it is, what ballroom dancing really is. You know, sometimes people think it's just two people wobbling around together, not really, but really ballroom dancing, the modern style of ballroom dancing, it moves around the room. It's big movement, and it's powerful, and there's a way of doing it, you know, two people being connected and in harmony and to the music. It's very exciting. There's really nothing like it. That's the amazing thing, you know, that there's dancing alone, and then there's dancing with another person, which is what ballroom dancing is. You can gain so much power, more power, but with two people together actually dancing in some sense in opposite directions, but because we're connected, it causes centrifugal force, it causes, you know, all kinds of reactions and actions, which is incredible. So for me, that's the most exciting part about it.
Yeah, and it's got to be really interesting for you to watch what's now happened with ballroom dancing, because I think as somebody who's just looking from the outside, that there's a renaissance, you know, that's been revitalized, so to speak, and more mainstream. Is that kind of neat to you, that more and more people are understanding exactly what you just described, that it's about movement and so much more than, oh, just it looks pretty good and we'll do it at a wedding? No. It's much bigger than that.
Right. That's what I'm trying. That's what I really would love for people to know. I know the mainstream, generally people think, oh yeah, that's what my parents did, you know, on their anniversary. Or at least that's how I always thought of it until I found out. I just thought I was born too late for all that. I'd seen old movies with people swirling around the room, and I figured I'd miss that. But it turns out that's been happening all along. You know, I just didn't realize it. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it is something that is modern. You know, part of it is the music. You know, the music is what stirs you, makes you feel like you want to get up and move around. And it's just nice to be able to do that with someone. So
when you're you know, working with people, because all kinds of people call you up, and obviously people have different levels of what they know and inhibitions and letting that go and taking a breath, because we all don't want to be judged. And I think sometimes people think, especially with dancing, they are going to be judged even though they desperately want to do it. So what's one of the first things you tell a new student when they come in?
Well, anyone can learn to dance. I mean, if you can walk in the door in the first place, you can learn to dance. And it is, you do learn in stages, and it's the first thing you want to do is have fun. I mean, that's you don't want to get too technical in the beginning. Just want to have fun. You want to learn how to stand together, move without feeling uncomfortable, and that can come pretty quickly. I mean, you can learn a few steps. You learn in stages. You learn a few steps, a little tiny bit of technique. Learn to understand the music and the various different kinds of music. Like you said, tango, there's waltz, there's foxtrot, there's cha-cha, rumbas, you know, there's just so many things. That's the other thing. I never get bored with it because it's not just one thing. There's so many pieces of it. But you could stay interested for years and years, which I have stayed interested for years and years. So, you know, when people start out, they just want to have fun. And then really what fun is, I think, and a lot of people probably agree with me, is being challenged and feeling you're improving yourself. You know, you're getting better at something. And so then you go up on through the grades, and as you go, you begin to find out more and more about it and start enjoying it in different ways, you know, not in the same way that you may have started. But in the end, it's feeling like, oh, this is fascinating how it works. How can two people connect their arms and dance around with, you know, four legs and four arms and two heads? You know, how do we make that work? How do we fly around the room to a beautiful waltz? It's just, it's pretty fascinating, and it's a lot of fun to learn. So it's sort of a graded thing, you know.
Yeah, and you can tell that in the book. And again, Janelle's book is Life on the Wood Floor, Stories of Learning and Teaching Ballroom Dance. And you can pick it up on Amazon or, frankly, anywhere where books are sold. For you, what was the pinnacle of your professional dancing? What was the best prize you won, the hardest you worked, whatever?
Well, we did both what we call American style, and we also did the international style. We won the United States Ballroom Championships. That was the pinnacle of our career. And we also did, because that was in the American style, American Smooth, which is waltz, tango, foxtrot, and Viennese waltz. And then we also did the international standard, which is a style where you never break apart. You stay together the whole time. You never do underarm turns or things like that. And we were finalists in that. And we also were finalists in the World Championships for show dancing, which combined our American style with the international style. It was both styles combined. And those are the two things that were really, you know, the top of our career.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that, and run out and get this book, because you'll be inspired, definitely. And you'll want to, I think you'll want to dance, but you'll be inspired by this book, Life on the Wood Floor, Stories of Learning and Teaching Ballroom Dance. I'll tell you what, if I live near you, I would grab Mr. Kate Delaney and we would come and take a lesson.
That would be wonderful. I'd love to have you.
Janelle, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.